Brilliant. Well, welcome, Zanoli. Welcome to the aura reading this afternoon. And what we're going to do, we're going to figure out a few little bits and pieces for you, and we're going to read your aura. We're going to bring you back to a place of realistic understanding. And then we're going to take you forward and show you your potential and where your areas of expertise lay. Does that sound about right?
Amazing.
Okay, well, that's very kind of you. I don't know about amazing, but it'll be great. We'll be brilliant doing this. Now, one of the most important things for us as a person is that we do not ever see ourselves as somebody else would see us. So we have a set of directions in our brain that says we are this, 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 and this, and other people see us in a different way. So our qualities and our perfect parts of us, we tend to ignore and we tend to move on. So let me point out some of the colors in your aura that make you quite a gentle, soft, emotional person. And then let me explain to you why, because I think that that may help you start to understand yourself and start to build in a purpose for you. Right around the outside of you is a double orange. Okay, so the outer aura is double orange. That means that what you've done is you've rebuilt your life. You've literally gone through times of looking for acceptance, looking to be heard, looking to be someone that you are, but not getting that acknowledgement from people around you. So you've gone through that and you've actually got to this stage. Now, this stage of your life, you're a totally different person to what you were 10 years ago. You've actually come right out of where you've been, and you've put yourself in the position where you're calling the shots. You're making sure the decisions are yours. And this is the hardest thing that you get to, because the purples and the mauves in the middle aura are the blocks behind you deciding. Or being a little bit, shall we just say, indecisive about things? Yeah, it's because, we could decide, but we take a long time to decide things. And it's because we change our minds about 6 million times before we actually do what we need to do. Now, that's what this is here. This is what these purples and violets are within your middle aura. It's the emotions coming across your decision making. Now, what's happened is because you've actually not taken into concern your circumstances, you've always thought that you're responsible for everything that happens to you. You've always looked at where you've been and where you're going as your responsibility. And you haven't taken into account the people that you've met along the way. So there's lots of people that have had influence over you. And some of those people have been very negative about the way they treat you as a person. And because you haven't felt powerful enough, you've just sort of pulled away from them and let them carry on. And what they've basically done is they've taken away your decision-making power. So they've actually said, I don't want you to do anything. I want you to stay there, do as you're told. And as long as you do that, everything's going to be okay. Well, that might have been okay when you were 18 to 20, right? It's not okay as you get older because you want to make your own decisions. So what you've got is you've got conflict between, I don't really want to make a decision because everything's going to be okay if I don't make it, but I also want to make my decisions and I don't always want to be totally responsible about not knowing the future before I make them. So what you're trying to do is pre-guess yourself and and work out every connotation that there possibly could be without being able to find answers. And then when you can't find the answer, you go back to square one again and you start all over again. That's what the indecisiveness is. Okay. So, first of all, okay, I haven't met anybody in the whole of my life, right, that can predict the future. If you can predict the future, I want to know the next 10 horse races, all right? It's
Please.
we'll share it, okay? It's absolutely impossible to know the outcome of the future. The only moment we ever have is now. And that moment, you get engulfed in your emotions because you keep really going back into yourself and creating this emotional pressure to do something different. Now, I don't know whether you've actually recognized where your happiness lays, but I would actually say your happiness lays away from emotional relationships at this present time, because what you tend to have is you have this little cocoon inside of you, this little reds and purples that come into your middle aura, and they keep you away from getting too involved. They pull you back away from people. So as soon as someone comes in and goes, oh, hi, Zanotti, I'm so-and-so, I've got this, I've got that, I've got this, you go, oh, don't want to know too much. Because most people will come in really fast into your life because they're choosing you, they're making choices of you, and you're saying, right, okay, fair enough, but I can't cope with you. I need to be independent. I need to do my own thing. And all these things that you're really wanting is to share. But because you're so independently thought, because you don't want to give anyone else the responsibility, but you secretly do, it becomes a conflict. So your whole aura is a conflict zone about who you are, what you're thinking, how you want to achieve it. So all we need to do, right, and it's a very simple task for you, because, yeah, when someone's got the clear emotional intelligence you have and the background that you've been through, we can start to put you into a straighter line. So your thinking becomes untangled. You cope in the moment. You don't look too far into the future. And you start to make choices where you are right now, because that's the only way you're going to decide where you're happiest, because you won't be happy when, or you won't be happy if, but you can be happy now. Okay. And this is it. So I would say three things. If I looked at where you are right now, first thing is, I don't think that you really quite enjoy being on your own, although it's easier. Yeah.
Okay. Very true.
It is easier. It's much easier to look after yourself than it is to look after someone else as well as yourself. But you don't get any of the sharing, which is what you're about. Okay. The second thing is, I think that you've lost faith in people telling you the truth. I think you believe that people are going to lie to you or tell you things that aren't true in order to gain an advantage with you. I think you undermine yourself when you think like that, because you're sensible, you're straight, you're honest, and you're direct. Your language is a very direct language. So you would leave nobody in any doubt into how you're feeling. And you would make sure that they know what you're feeling. And also, what I loved about you is you got opinions, and you got very strong based opinions on the things that you can remember. The only difficulty with opinions is we have to give ourselves the flexibility to be able to change them without making them too fast. And I do think that you take a while to make your mind up, and then you stick to what you believe and you don't change. You're stubborn. You don't budge. Yeah. And again, that is actually shown in this little bit of pinky red. And when you look at you, pinky red, right, is a color that you're quite attracted to, because what it is, see, case in point, really, isn't it? Right. What you're trying to do is you're trying to actually square your emotions against your actions. And it doesn't really always come into fit. So what we got to bring back is that straight line, is that the truth does really matter to you. And so do people. They really matter to you. And your opinion matters to you. And where we would find the middle ground is being able to debate where you see it and where somebody else sees it. So you can't both be wrong and you can't both be right, but there's a compromise. And what I want you to find is that compromise within yourself. Yeah, because it's not all or nothing. Even though your aura tells me that you think it's all or nothing. And if you're in a relationship, you either want to be 100% committed as quick as you possibly can, or totally and utterly detached. And those two extremes are two ends of a big tug of war rope. that you will actually find yourself pulling yourself against and not quite getting there. Okay, so if our aim in life is a very simple aim, that all we want to be is content, and all we want to do is share, and all we want to find out is where we fit within who we are, then the very clear indications with you are we have to be able to allow you to see that the extremes that you think in are not real life. Okay, they're just being put into your mind as thoughts that are real life, because all the people that you've met, and I'm going to say this to you, Zanoli, all the people that have met you, right, they've come to you because they've chosen you, right, they're all really harsh, extreme people. They're either all or nothing people. And that's what you've seen the whole of your life. And it's what you've actually been used to. And that's why you tend to not want to get too involved, because you don't want all and you don't want nothing. What you really need is a compromise that lets you be yourself, who you are, explore the spirituality of your imagination, because you've got a very vivid imagination, and also a person that can trust you and be trusted by you. And that's something that happens over a gradual period of time. And I think that trust comes in from self, because once you find your own reality where you are personally and what you're looking to do, then you can actually follow that, because the identity of who you are follows into the confidence of who you become. And that's, again, another really important aspect for you, because your identity tends to be very strong when people know you. But before they know you, you're very kind and very giving and very thoughtful and very smiley and very happy. And they don't see the real you. All they see is this person that wants to give a good impression. So you want to please. Okay, so does that sound almost like about you at this present
100%.
Time? 100%. Yeah, okay. It's important for you to actually get your life framed and get you framed so you know where you are. So when people do come into your life, you can choose wherever they stay. Because I know from what I can see on the outside of your aura, people come into your life regularly, yet they don't stay very long. They sort of touch in and they're gone, because I don't think they really are that genuine. I think they're quite disingenuous, a lot of them. And because they're disingenuous, you read them and you pull back. And because they're making the choice of you, you're not making the choice of them. And the reason they're making the choice of you is because you're not quite too sure about your identity, what you bring, who you are, where you want to be. But when I talk to you, your aura changes when I talk about identity, which is really interesting for me, because you do know who you are and you're hiding it. You're pushing it away. You're not accepting it. For some reason, you've lost the confidence in what you're actually capable of doing. And that is learnt behavior.
And it is.
It is, isn't it? And if you can learn that behavior, you can learn a different way. And we can teach you a different way of being able to go forward with yourself with a different way of thinking. Okay.
And I need that. I don't know how to, quote unquote, unlearn what these stories are that I've been telling myself.
Okay. Stop telling yourself stories. Yeah, it's quite, yeah, it's
okay.
Yeah, I know. It's one of those things, right? I believe the universe is very, very simple. It's very uncomplicated. And as soon as we start doing things uncomplicated, right, as soon as it becomes simple for us, everything else becomes simple, because we overthink it.
I know.
Yeah. If someone comes up and says, "Hello, can I buy you a drink?" You're thinking, gosh, you might want
Why?
To marry. Yeah, you might want to marry me down the line somewhere, or he might be trying to get, you know, different something from you, and so that whole perception of how you think about things doesn't allow you to accept, because what you're doing is you're sharing your fierce independence above everything else. And I think that it's very rare that you have great conversations with people because they don't get that close to you to have those great conversations. And that whole projection of who you are is like a little bit of a fence before people get close to you. And so when we get that fence and we get through the gates around you, we can then start talking to you. But we have to learn that it's a slow process with you because it's about trust. But you also may have to understand that it works the other way around. Yeah, that with you, it's a slow process because you decide that you don't want people into your life that you can't be sure of. Well, the bit that really matters on that is you can't be sure of anyone. Okay. Yeah. So it doesn't matter whether you think you're right or you think you're going to get it wrong. You won't get it right. I mean, regardless, how many times do we look at somebody and judge them on what they wear, how they talk, what they look like, how they are, how they hold themselves? Do they clean their shoes? Do they have clean fingernails? Yeah, you know, what is their outward appearance? And we get that wrong because we judge on the wrong things. We're looking for the wrong sort of things to look at. And we don't give ourselves a chance to get to know the person. And that for you comes into your identity because you feel when you first meet somebody, you can't talk about you. They have to talk about them. Yeah. And the person that you know the best is you. You know your story. You know who you are. You know where you've come from. You know why you're here. You know what you're capable of. You know your intelligence. You know your attributes and your bents towards work and identity of profession. You know everything about you. Nobody will know everything about you. People that come into your life know everything about them. Yeah. And they will choose to talk about themselves because you won't let them close. Because if they start talking about you, you'll shut them down. Yeah. And that's something, again, that you could probably have been practiced in because your emotional shield is, I don't want to go through another emotional relationship with somebody. I just want to get close to somebody and feel them close. And I think that when I feel that somebody, I'll just let go. And it doesn't work that way. It's about being able to have degrees of people in our life that have different attributes and different beliefs and different understandings that can challenge us as well as understand us. But if they don't get past the who are you part, they're not going to get anywhere near you as a person. And your self-disclosure, although I feel it's there very strongly and very fully, because I can look at you and you're telling me everything about you, everything just about, right? It's the fact that I think you feel that you could get through life too quick and you could come out of life with absolutely, you know, just standing still the whole time, all because you don't feel that you have the faith in your own decision-making to do it right. And that's totally wrong. And that's a totally wrong picture that you're painting of yourself, because even if you get it wrong, you're getting it right. There is no wrong choices. There are just choices. Yeah. So this is why we talk about when we look at you, and I look at the colors that you're wearing, and I look at the personality that you have, and I know the opinions that you hold, that as soon as someone comes in, you change character. You switch. You switch from being, yeah, okay, good. I can get you to say it louder, but I won't. But you,
no,
it's okay, right? You switch, and that switch was actually your self-protective shield, and that's why we have to have some self-disclosure that you don't mind talking about that isn't personal, because for you, it's either personal, and it's full-on, and it's direct, or it's nothing at all. And it's not. There's a middle ground. So there has to be some, if you like, some things in your identity that you love, you know, and that could be art, music, yeah, it can be literature. There's lots of things in this world that we can actually really enjoy and enjoy solely. But we also need that part of us to be engaged with other people. And that's the bit in the middle that we need to engage before we engage personal preferences or difficulties that we've gone through or issues of trust that we, first of all, we don't trust others, we don't trust ourselves. We need to find that sort of balance. So we need to bring that back by bringing in the middle ground of identity, so then we can actually get the clues to whether we can trust somebody. So
how?
Yeah, this is now. I thought you'd turn into a red Indian at some point. Yeah, I really did. It's okay. So Noli, we can show you how, and we can show you where that fits in, and how to be safe. So how do you know? I'm going to ask you a couple of questions, right? And then I'm going to answer it for you. But I'm going to set myself up a bit here to give you the answers. So how do you know if someone's interested in you?
They talk to me.
Okay. About what?
I don't know. I know people tell me all the time, you do know.
No, you don't know. It's fine. If you don't know, it's fine.
Yeah, the fact that they even come up to me and talk to me makes me think that they're interested.
I know. It's pretty scary, isn't it? Because what they represent is all or nothing. It's like you could be the most wonderful person in the world, and I can't see it. Or you could be the most evil person in the world, and I can't see that either. So it's damn scary when people come up and talk to you. Okay, just so you understand that. The way you get to know a person and the way you get to understand a person is interested in you is they'll come and talk to you about you. They'll want to know about you. They won't be talking about themselves. That's a person that doesn't want to know you.
Mm.
All right? Now, what's the scariest thing that you have to face when you meet somebody? I'll tell you. Okay, it's talking about you.
Yeah.
Because you don't know how to.
I don't.
I know you don't.
Do you know, the other day, someone that I've known for 15, almost 20 years, I haven't seen him in 10, 12 years, and we reconnected because of my job, and he asked me, what have you done in the past 10, 12 years? And I was like, nothing.
Right. Okay, so you've been in bed.
Apparently. But it freaked me out, and it's like I think I have to impress them with these amazing things that I've accomplished and achieved in life, where I'm a failure.
Okay, so brilliant. Great division. So I'm either a failure or I'm a success. Yeah, I'm either somebody that can actually boast about my achievements and tell you what a wonderful person I am, yeah? Or I've failed, yeah? But you're still living.
Apparently, yeah? I'm here.
Yeah, I think you can just take your pulse just to check, right? Yeah, you're still alive, you're still about, you're still in the land, right? And you've still got through and you've survived the last 10, 20 years, yeah? And you've become a different person because of that. And because you feel it's none of his business to tell him what you've been through, because you don't think it's appropriate, because you've only just met him after a gap of time, you're not going to tell him what you've been through or what you've done or how successful or non-successful you are. And that's where that little bit of self-disclosure comes in about the things that you like. So you don't have to talk about you, but you can say, well, over the last 10 years, I've really got into music. I found a fantastic few modern art galleries that I love. I've discovered that Italian food is the best thing. And I also love the fact that I can travel at will. Right? You haven't told him anything about you. But what you've done is you've started the conversation that isn't about success or failure. Yeah, you've brought in a different level of being able to talk about yourself, which is the middle ground level.
Mm.
Yeah. Now, would that have been easier for you to be able to do that? Because normally what you would do is you would say, well, I haven't done much, but what about you? And you deflect it back on him and you go, oh, okay. And because he's interested in you, he wants to know about you first. He doesn't want to talk about himself because he knows about himself. And the best way you can judge a person or look at a person is, are they interested in me? And he is. He's not trying to impress you. He's not rolling up in a Jag or a big chat and telling you that he's done flying lessons and he now works for MI5 or whatever, is he? He's actually just interested in you. And so that middle ground, it doesn't matter what you've done in your life. The one thing you have done is you've discovered more about your personality, who you are, what you do. Yeah. All the rest of it comes later. All the difficulties and the relationships we've had and the things that we've gone through and the personality we've become, that comes into it when we get to know somebody. But when we're just meeting someone for the first time for a few years, it doesn't matter. We talk about the things we like. And the things you like, as we discussed at the beginning, due to this purple in your aura, are you're very opinionated.
I am.
And so you know what you like, because if I gave you a plate of pasta and you didn't want pasta, you wanted salad, you'd tell me.
I would.
You would, wouldn't you? You'd tell me. You wouldn't do anything you didn't want to do. So in a conversational terms, you do. You sort of sit there and you think, I don't want to make the effort. I don't want to do this. I don't want to talk to people. I want them to talk to me. And that's why you don't know whether they're interested or not, because you're not prepared to give that self-disclosure. Now, that's not having faith in yourself. That's having knowledge about yourself. And it's also about being prepared to have little things that you can share.
Mm.
Because in a relationship, Zanoli, what you would want more than anything else in your life is to share. That's what you miss. You miss that probably more than anything else, just waking up and talking to a person. Because, as we discussed, I bet you could talk for South Africa if you got half a chance, couldn't you? So, I know you would, because you're dying to have a conversation, but you don't trust that conversation before it starts. And that's the thing, because once you trust that conversation, it'll go and you won't stop. And you'll talk and talk and talk and talk and talk. And before you realize it, you'll be talking about everything and you'll be getting opinions and understanding it. And you'll be talking about in general and everything will come into the conversation. But because you don't start it with a little bit of, well, I'm interested in this, I'm interested in that, and this is what I've been discovering in my life, because you probably missed that bit that you have to be successful. And for some reason in your past, you've been told that if you're not successful, you're nobody. And it doesn't matter. You could be the most successful person waiting to happen. Mm. You could have the most successful book inside of you waiting to be published. But if you don't believe that's there, you won't see it. So it's all about knowing that I am already there. I'm already a part of this. I'm already understanding this. I've got to this particular point in my life because of my success to be resilient against people. And that is a real clue to where you want to be in the future. Because I think we need to sit down and figure out who we are. And if I gave you a list of things of who you are, I would say you're charismatic. Yeah. I would say you're warm. I would say you're personable. You're funny, right? You're sincere. You're emotional. You're pretty much a round bunch of everything that there is that a person has to offer. And you don't miss out anything. I think you can be angry as well, because you've got that real ice there, that bunny boiler sort of look at times, where I think, oh my God, get this right, Dom. you know that sort of thing. And I know that's there as well. So there's that judgmental part of you. But we need that. That's inherited. That's learned behavior again. And we need to be able to look at people and judge who they are. And then occasionally, if we put them all into the right place and we actually look at it right in the right way, we meet people that we really like. And then when we really like people, the real difficulty comes in, which is the fear. Will they like me? Yeah. Okay. Because you don't.
But I can't even get there. You'll see this in my aura, but you might not, as a human being, believe me. No one actually comes to talk to me.
Yeah. No, I believe
I have this. People tell me all the time, oh my gosh, I sat next to a great person on the plane and we had such a great conversation. no one actually comes and talks to me. So I'm doing something.
Yeah.
That facial expression, my aura, something is stopping people from even approaching me.
What about you approaching people?
Yeah, no, that's not going to happen.
Absolutely. So you're giving responsibility away straight away, aren't you? Nobody talks to me. Do you talk to anyone? No. So how are they going to start?
Well, why won't they come to me? Why do I have to go to them?
Because life is tough.
Mm.
And sometimes you have to have a packet of polos or sweets in your pocket and offer one. Yeah? Just to start the conversation. Just to be able to know whether somebody's approachable or not. And when you don't know if someone's approachable, you end up saying to me, why doesn't anyone talk to me? Because we don't know that they're approachable. We don't know. We just don't know. We have to take that chance. And every now and again, we'll take a chance and someone won't be approachable and we'll feel real rubbish. And then we'll meet somebody and they won't stop talking. And we go, stop. I don't want that. Yeah. It's a sieve. It's almost like a belt of people coming through your life all the time. And it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people. And they can go past you and you cannot talk to them. Yeah, let me bring this back to some sort of now for you, because last time you made a friend, apart from me, right? Last time you made a friend, when was it?
Last year, May.
Time? 2:30?
I run, and the only reason I know is because I was a sales rep and I opened her as an account. So I knew immediately and we became friends. And that's it. That's the last time I've made a friend.
But you knew.
I knew.
You knew straight away. And you must meet and talk to people, and your expertise on what you do, you would know it inside out. Yeah? If I wanted what you sell, you'd be able to tell me exactly what I needed. Not a problem, would you? You know, you'd be like, oh, Dom, you need that. If you don't have this, you're not really living. I you know, so you've got that ability to talk to people. As long as you're not yourself.
Ah.
Yay. Hey.
So I'm good at the acting.
Yeah. Or hiding behind your knowledge.
Mm.
Yeah. So what's so different about having knowledge of yourself to having knowledge of the products that you sell?
Then I'm going to see my faults.
Can I see your foot?
Faults. What I'm not good at.
Oh, your faults. Sorry. It's my ears. I'm getting much too old for this.
No, you're fine.
Sorry. No, it's okay. I'm only kidding. Look, the point being, right, you're afraid they're going to see that you're a flawed person because you're not pitch perfect when you talk about yourself. And because you're not pitch perfect when you talk about yourself, you think people are going to hold on to the negative stuff.
Yep.
Okay, so when we talk about pitch perfect, if you're selling me a project, right, are you going to tell me that it's too greasy or too dull or doesn't shine enough or it sticks to the carpet if I drop it or nothing like that? Are you going to tell me that stuff?
No.
So why would you tell people your faults?
They're going to see them.
No, they're not. They're not going to see them. They're not going to see it. They are not, right? You do not walk around with a sandwich board, right? With all your faults, right? I can promise you, when I look at you, all I see is your aura. I don't see a sign on your forehead saying, I'm intolerant. I'm impatient. Yeah. I've got awful, you know, whatever, right? I don't see that.
Okay? But you see that I'm intolerant and I'm impatient.
But that's because I see your aura. Yeah, but I would know that that would be a good thing. I would look at that. I would look at intolerance and impatience as good things, because only people that are spiritual are impatient because they've been used to manifesting stuff in front of them and they want to manifest it now rather than wait, right? They don't want to wait, but they do, but they don't, but they do, right? So impatience is a good thing. Spirituality. Intolerance is a different thing, because what you're doing is you're being triggered by what someone looks like depending on your memories of other people. And that intolerance is a prejudged situation that if you go into it, you'll be wrong 100% of the time. Not just 99%, you'll be wrong 100% of the time. And it does bear in mind that if we're intolerant of situations, we're very intolerant about ourselves. And so you don't give yourself a break, right? There's no break for you. You either have to be perfect or you're not good enough. Okay. Right. Do you know the English word bollocks?
Yes.
You've heard of that, yeah? Okay. Right. That's what that is, okay? It's total, absolute rubbish. The perfect thing about you is that you're imperfect. Because if you were perfect, can you imagine being married to somebody who was absolutely perfect? How difficult that would be. God, I wouldn't be able to take the mickey out of you.
Right.
Yeah. We wouldn't be able to have a laugh, would we, when you fell over something, you know, or you burnt a cake or something. We wouldn't be able to do anything because there'd be too little room to jiggle about. Now, you give yourself too little room. And that's the difficulty you have when you go into meeting people. When you're meeting people behind what you know, you're fine. When you go into meeting people behind who you are, there's no room.
Excuse me.
That's okay.
Excuse me.
It's okay. I'm glad you're not perfect. You do sneeze. Okay. Great. Okay. Fantastic. So do you see where we're getting to?
Yeah.
We're getting to the point where your judgments are tripping you up because you're not allowing yourself to see that there might be something else. There may be something behind the hello, would you like a drink, that isn't related to trying to sweep you off your feet and get you into the nearest motel room. Yeah, that isn't happening. You know, there's people around you that are interested in you because you're an interesting lady and you've got something to offer. And you do not see that, not at this moment in time, although you will. If you carry on talking to me, you'll see where you're interesting and who you are and what you hold for yourself. And the fact that you can hold a conversation and have a laugh and be self-detrimating means you're South African. That's the first thing, right? The second thing, it means that you understand that we're all flawed, because that person who can't laugh at themselves will never, ever be able to understand others laughing with them. They'll think they're laughing at them. And this is the thing. So we get you back into judging yourself as a person that is unconditional rather than judgmental. We get you back to judging the things that you know, which is far easier to be with, because what's the point of talking about things we don't know? Yeah, but just be honest. If I didn't know something, I'd say, look, I haven't got a clue. Don't know what I'm talking about. And also, it's the bit where you're in it because you want to find something new in your life. You want to change something. And that only happens when you trust yourself. Okay. So you're successful what you do. Yeah, you're pretty happy at what you do. You're pretty good where you are. The only thing that you'd love to change in your life is a full-time relationship where you share with somebody. But nobody approaches you, because you don't approach them. Yeah, because you wouldn't say anything if someone didn't say something first. So what you've got basically is a load of opportunities all out there waiting. And because you don't want to actually take the first gambit, the first chance, deal the first card, they just go past you. They're like a conveyor belt of opportunities that whiz past you every day. And sometimes we just have to smile. You know, you're quite lucky. You know, I mean, you've got everything in your absolute possession. You've got the communication, you've got the smile, you've got the understanding, you've got the personality, you've even got the sarcasm. You know, you've got everything in that personality, right, of yours, that is yours. And that can be absolutely fantastic. And if people don't know you, they can't really get to know you, can they? Because you're not going to let them anywhere near you. Okay, so that either tells me that two things is one, that you're really happy with your life and you've got everything you want, so I don't want to bring anything else in, I'm just going to be who I am and do what I do, or it tells me that you're too afraid to bring it in case it doesn't work. Yeah, so when you first start, you know, I take it you drive a car.
I do.
Yeah, I thought you would do. Yeah, just a lucky guess, really. Right. Okay. So when you first started driving, did you think you're never going to pass your test?
Probably.
Which one? Did you think you were, or did you think you probably were?
No, actually, I knew I would.
Yeah. See, so you had confidence that that would happen, and that's where I see you. I see you as somebody that would go out and do what she wanted to do, because no one's going to tell you what to do. You're pretty single-minded. Okay. So you don't get into a car if you don't think you're going to drive it, do you? And at some
No.
point, you know you're going to do it solo, because there's no point getting in the first place, is there? So you know you can do it. So you tell yourself, I will drive that car. Can you see the difference between you in life and driving a car? Is you tell yourself it's not obtainable sometimes when it is. And you tell yourself that it's other people when it's you. And you tell yourself that no one speaks to me when they probably would if they felt they could approach you. Yeah. And so the whole part of this is a lesson of not preempting what we think to be true. Because in your life, if you tell me the things that you've done, you know, and I only know a couple of things about you. I don't know too much, but I know that you lived in South Africa, you now live in America, right? You obviously made that happen. Whatever reason that happened because of you, right? You've actually got a house to live in, and you've got a job, and you drive a car. That's happened because of you. Yeah, you look after some dogs. I think last time we saw some dogs, and I'm sure they're around somewhere, and that's because of you. You've gone to the kennel club or whatever, and you've gone, I like you, and I like you, and I want you in my life, so I'm going to go and do that. And they go, oh, okay. Right, so you've done all that stuff. You've got involved in that stuff because of you. And the one thing you haven't done in yourself is to believe in yourself in other areas of emotion, because the emotion's been taken out of you and it's been turned into something that makes you fearful. Okay, we can change all this, right? The bits that matter for you will change once you start to understand that life happens whether you want it to or not. Yeah. People will happen by you whether you want them to or not. Everybody you meet knows somebody else, whether you want them to or not. Okay. And the people that you're talking to don't directly need to be impressed by you, but they might know somebody it is. And this is the thing that we have to understand. It's more of a bigger picture than just a little picture. I'm also a big believer in affirmations. And the biggest part of me is I know that whether I tell myself I will or I tell myself I won't, I'll be right. And I want you to tell yourself you will, right? You will start to become, you know, more of you. You know, you are great the way you are. You don't need to change a single thing about you. And people will start talking to you because they'll feel close to you. And I think that that will happen fairly quickly now, because the realization is you can walk into a supermarket and talk to the lady on the checkout. You can walk into an airport and sit down next to somebody and offer them a sweet and start up a conversation. It's just not knowing how to start that conversation. And it's the little things. And you'll probably find that if you just smiled at people rather than stare at them with those big eyes, right? You would have a totally different reaction from them. At the moment, I bet you when you're about your life, you're so busy doing things that you're missing people everywhere. I bet you're too busy getting to A to B, and you don't
I
really
am.
stop. Yeah, I can imagine. And you don't really see anything around you. But that's very convenient for you, because then you haven't got to react to it. Yeah. And I bet you're having a bit of a look, but you're not having too much of a look, because if you had too much of a look, you'd be reminded about what you want, and it doesn't really work that way. Okay. All right. So when we get to that point of being able to understand ourselves, we just got to think, right, okay, this is achievable. And there's nothing saying to me that you've got anything in you that you can't do that. So now it's your turn. All right.
Ugh.
Yeah. Okay. What do you think prevents you from being able to build friendships?
That I'll get hurt.
Yeah, that's a prediction. That's
No.
a, yeah, isn't it? It's a prediction. I mean, you turn into Mystic Meg all of a sudden. You have a crystal ball in front of you, and you'll be saying to Meg,
Apparently.
okay, relationships, they can hurt you. Yeah, of course they can. But if you don't want a relationship, then buy a dog. It's what they say, don't
It's like I want to buy every dog out
they? I
there.
know, because they're unconditional. They love you and you haven't got to do anything. They absolutely adore you. Dogs are one. If men were like dogs, right, it would
Right.
be absolutely no problem, would there? Yeah. Hello. You know what I mean? Where's my food? Where's my bed? Can you take me for a walk? You'd be fine, wouldn't you? No problem at
I'd be
all.
perfect.
You will, wouldn't you? But the thing is, that has to be a bit in you that understands how to have that conversation. And that's the only thing you're missing, is that link into that conversation and having that disclosure that isn't about you. Because when you meet somebody, you're tempted to tell them everything about you. And you're tempted to say, "You're not going to hurt me, are you?" Or,
I'm an oversharer.
yeah, absolutely. Can you imagine it? Can you imagine? We meet for the first time and I say, "Oh, you're not going to hurt me, are you, Dom?" No, I'm going that way. Right. And that's the bit that matters. People don't really understand why we go too far forward. Because if we're trying to predict that we're gonna get hurt, gosh, every relationship has some sort of hurt in it. Yeah, that's human relationships. There's not many relationships you have where you don't get hurt at some point. Yeah. Some optimist once told me that every relationship ends in failure because somebody dies or leaves or goes somewhere. And I'm thinking, don't tell me that. I don't want to know that. I'm too analytical. I don't want to know that stuff. But if you start thinking like that, you don't go into relationships because you see the end before you actually enjoy the beginning. And there's the bit that you need to enjoy the relationship. And if it gets to a point where it doesn't work, well, then bye-bye, we'll start another one. There's no guarantees when it comes to people. People evolve, change, alter. You would not be the same person as you were 10 years ago. So how can you expect a partner to be the same as they were 10 years ago as you grow together? It's all about that. And I don't think there's too much difficulty in understanding that. It's just not putting that expectation too far forward into the relationship. So you don't want to be married before you've even just got to know each other. Yeah. You don't want to be trying to work out where his parents live and, oh, what does my name sound like with his surname on the end? Or, you don't want to do any of that stuff at the beginning, all right? You want to keep it to the getting to know you, the courting, the old fashioned words and the dating and enjoyment. And if you're gonna have some fun with somebody, you're going to enjoy it, aren't you? And it's the same if they're going to have fun with you. They're going to enjoy it. And that's what keeps people together, enjoying it, having a laugh, being fun together, not being too intense. We don't want to become like Glenn Close and start boiling rabbits.
My gosh.
No, we don't want to be like that, do we? No, because it's just too intense. That's really where that is. But we have to accept that people are friends. Making friends is important. And we don't have to tell them about us. We just tell them about what we like, who we are. And I think once you start to adopt that, your aura's changed already. You're far more open now than when you first came in into the chat. You're far more open to understanding yourself because you thought this would be about your aura and all the colors around you and everything that is in there. That's just the beginning. The bit that's important is the psychology about you and who you don't say that you are. Because how do people know who you are if they're just relying on what you say about yourself? Because we can tell ourselves anything. I can tell you I'm related to King Kong and you'd have to believe me. You can't challenge me. It's safe. Yeah, perfectly safe. So it's all about being able to use your judgment and that sense that you've got. I guarantee, as a salesperson, you know when someone's going to buy from you and you close that sale every single time. Your livelihood depends on it. Yeah. Your life depends on you knowing about people. Yeah. First start with you. Then we work into other people that you meet. And we find out what they are, who they are, what their agendas are, who they actually like, what they don't like, who they come from, what people brought them up. All those things come when we make friends, but not until. And that's the easy part of being able to get to know people, because we are absolutely, and you are, right? This is the bit I love, right? You are so curiously, enthusiastically nosy. Everything you need to know. And so you've got 1,000 questions in your head that you would love to ask every single person you meet, and you don't ask any of them. You may ask one or two, but you don't, because you're afraid that you might not get the answers.
And that's not an answer I like.
Yeah. So those questions need to be staggered. They need to be not like a machine gun, right? They need to be staggered into the pitch that you're actually with. And I don't know, when was the last time that you really had a good laugh about something? Really good laugh, you know, because you love to laugh. I've seen it from the beginning.
Yeah, I haven't.
That's missing. I would love you just to be able to just go and grab a film, grab a Laurel and Hardy, or just something, you know, something that appeals to you. I don't know, you know, where your humor base is. I know it's dry. I know it's sarcastic, right? I know that you probably like, you know, things where people are, you know, quite like Monty Python maybe and stuff like that, right? I know you'd like that sort of stuff. But you need to have a look at that stuff just to remind you of that is there as well, because that is a part of you as well. And reintroduce yourself to that would be great. So.
It's exhausting, though, to think.
Why? The only time, Sonoli, you get exhausted is when you overthink. Okay, your mind is very complex. I really understand. But when I look at you, I can see how complex your mind is. It'll take you days to actually process all this information that we've given today, because your mind is just thinking it all through and it's ticking over, and you're thinking, what does that mean? What does that mean? What does that mean? What's he saying that for? What does he mean by that? Should I laugh with him? Should I not laugh with him? And I've been testing you all the way through our conversation to see what you do and how you react. And I know that you're a little bit afraid sometimes to let go. And you shouldn't be, because that letting go is the most appealing thing in a person, being able to let go. I think that if I look at a person, one of the most appealing things for me is the inner child, because they can actually go and swing on the swings or run up a hill or roll down a hill. Yeah. And I think that there's not a person out there that can't relate to their inner child. It's whether they hide it or not, because they don't know how to cope with it. And that's a part of you that's really well hidden. It's there. It's underneath everything. It's right at the back of your... But there's things around that inner child that you're really not really wanting to deal with. And that's part of this. I can see that just by looking at you. And as soon as I talk to you about it, it comes in. Your aura drops in and it starts to go very protective. So I know there's bits and pieces that you've been through that are very difficult and very sore. And that is something that maybe has to be revisited for you to be able to trust yourself. Because I'm sure that you're not responsible for how you were as a child, even though you might have felt responsible by the look of it for everything that went on. Yeah. And that's not true. So now you're an adult and you've got your life and you're doing the things that you're doing. People are going to want to know you. And I'll tell you what, it's a lot harder trying to avoid people getting to know us than it is trying to get to know people. A lot, lot harder. So what would you like to ask me about anything we've talked about?
Lots.
Right, go. You can ask me anything. Absolutely.
No. My mind is going crazy. But one thing that makes me very happy is solutions, right? How do I solve this? How do I, my dream in my next life is to be a forensic anthropologist. I need to solve things. Okay. But I'm so stuck, and I can see where you're going, right? And I can see that I need to open up, and I see that I need to smile at people and stuff. But right now, for me, is I don't have the faith in me to make decisions.
Okay.
And one of the biggest decisions is I know where I am and my job is not where I'm supposed to be.
Okay.
And where I want to be may or may not be
okay.
within this company, but I'm too scared to either leave because then I have to start all over.
Yep.
Or do I, how do I get past my own lack of confidence and find the right people to make these changes? I'm at a point where all I want to do is fire all these questions and make all these changes now.
Okay.
And I don't know what to do to get there.
Okay. You manage the risk. Okay. If the risk is within your management, then you can do it. If the risk isn't within your management, then you let it be, but you don't stay pondering on it. The biggest problem you have is that you've been so indecisive for the last probably 2-3 years that you're worn out by that indecisiveness. And you haven't actually stopped thinking about you want to change, but you haven't known how to change. As soon as you let go of that, as soon as you accept the position you're in right now, right, and you just give up on wanting to change, that change will happen. At this moment in time, you're so wound up by it, you don't know where to start. And when we actually start to think that way, what you haven't given yourself is a break. You haven't ever said to yourself, I'm discontent. I'm just going to stay doing this. I'm just going to go through the motions and do this. And I'm going to actually find other things in my life so I can devote my worry to, my time to, my thoughts to. And what you've done is you've put so much effort into worrying about your job and changing your job. It's been distracting you from living your life. Yeah?
100%.
Yeah. And you haven't changed. You're still in the job. So all that worry, all that change, all that thought, right? Because you haven't managed the risk. Because you know that the risk is too high for you to manage right now. You know that because you're not going to risk it because it's too much of a chance to take. As soon as you realize that you can manage that risk, then you can do it and you can stop worrying about it. The worry actually takes over from the emotional missing piece in your life. Because if you had a different life with a different relationship in your life, that worry would go. Because all of a sudden the worry would be on them. It would be on something else, yeah? Yeah, you're fitting your job into your own psychology. Never been told that before, I can see, by the way that you're, yeah. But if you were to say to you, if I say to you, right, Sonoli, next 2 weeks, I don't want you to think about changing jobs at all. Don't want you to even consider it. I just want you to go to work, do your job, come home. What you'd have then is a great big gap in your thinking that you could devote to something else. And because you don't know where to devote it to, you carry on worrying about the job.
Just going to ask you that. So then what am I supposed to do with all that mind space?
Brilliant. Read a book. Watch a film. Go for a lecture. Go and find people that have an interest in the same things as you have in your life, right? Go and find a distraction. Just take up knitting. Do some crochet. Go and knit dog hair, whatever you want to do, right? You can do it. You can find something that you're interested in because you've actually taken so much out of yourself by worrying about all this stuff. You've actually lost yourself by not knowing who you are. and you don't want to know who you are. You just want to worry about the job. Yeah, don't matter. Every job is the same. Look, I worked with somebody for years who actually said to me, Dom, all I want to do is leave this place. And I said to him, why don't you do it? He goes, oh, I can't do that. You know, I've got a wife, kid, family, house, mortgage. Can't leave my job. Got to come in for the next 30 years. I said, no, you can't. You can't do that. He said, yes, I can. And he's still in that job. Still saying every day, I worry, you know, I don't want to do this job. And he's wasting his life because he's actually doing, because he feels that he's trapped. And the fact is, I left that job quite a few years ago now. And I did something that I follow my own passion, which is do this and to do this professionally. And I'm really happy because I had the courage to say I'm backing me. And it comes down to knowing who you are and backing yourself. Now, if you can't do it, that's fine. There's no, you don't need to do it. But what you need to be able to understand is you need to stop worrying about doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because if you can't accept it, acceptance. And then once you accept it, right, and you go, right, I'm going to be here. I'm going to stay here. I'm not going to moan about this. I'm just going to do this job. I know it inside out. And as soon as you accept that, bingo, your mind is free to go and search for other things. Because you won't even realize you're looking. You'll be looking. You'll see that you go, wow, I missed that before. Why did I miss that? Because you're too busy worrying. And that's the bit that we have to square. Yeah? You're using that as a way to actually put all your anxiety into. And I would just say to you, it's quite an easy job with the sound of it. It sounds quite nice, quite simple, quite straightforward. No problem. Yeah, don't have to be ambitious. Why be ambitious? What does it do us? Yeah, we get to the age of 60, we retire. Why be ambitious? Okay, exactly. It's chasing castles that we don't need to chase. And that's what you're doing because of the other side of your life isn't balanced. Bring you back. The other thing I want to say to you is about solving things. Okay? Do you think every puzzle's got an answer? You do? Okay. Why do you think that?
There's got to be an outcome.
Okay. If I said to you, you don't know what you don't know, what would you say?
Until you don't know.
You don't know, do you? There's some things you don't know. Regardless.
I don't know until I know. I need to know.
Exactly. But now this is the difference, okay? I think we changed some of your words.
Mm.
Yeah? Because you don't need to know, but it will benefit you if you did know. If you say, I need to know, you put yourself under a load of pressure because you've got to find the answer. You know, it doesn't matter what happened, I've got to find that answer. If you say, okay, it'll benefit me if I did know, straight away, you don't have to find the answer, but you know there's something in it for you if you can. And that helps because it changes your mindset of where you're putting yourself. You're not actually trying to needing, absolutely needing. Yeah, to know, because you don't. It doesn't affect your life. It isn't going to change anything. If I said to you, I can show you proof that there's alien life out there, it's not going to change your life. It's just going to give you a different way of thinking. Yeah. If I said to you, I've got this great energy system that I can do cold fusion and I can do it just like that and we can have free energy. Oh, thank you very much, Dom. But didn't really need to know that, did you? Do you say, you don't need to know. You really don't need to know. It's you only need to know when it has an effect on you as an individual needing to know. As soon as you lose that effect, your mind can be done other things. See, you're a genius in waiting. You really are. Your mind is very active. You've got what I look at as a writer's mind. If I was to write you a profile, I'd probably put down that you're very literate and you love to write and build lists and compile bits and pieces because that's what your mind shows me, especially your colours. And so you've got a very literary mind where you can put yourself away and write and write and write and write and write. And that may be your genius. But you didn't need to know that because you already realised that. And that's a big difference between what we already know, because that's what we can go on as our absolute definites, what we already know. What we don't know doesn't really matter that much, does it? Give me an argument against my argument.
It could be enriching my life, or it could mean I could stay away from it, or how do I know?
You don't need to, because you're not experiencing it. If you were to actually do something that was going to change your life, enrich your life, and you were to incorporate it into your life, you would then just go up to the next level, and you just want to keep enriching, keep
Yes.
enriching. Yeah. So you're the tigger that chases his tail. Yeah. And
It's
if you,
exhausting.
yeah, and very, very disorientating. And a little bit foolish, it's a little bit foolhardy, because you don't need to do it. What we do really benefit from is having some days off. And when I talk about days off, I don't mean we don't go into work.
Literal.
Yeah, days off from ourselves, because it's refreshing when we don't think about anything for a day. Or we have a time where we don't have to be engaged with the worry about, oh, how do I change this job? How do I find the right people to be friends with? Why don't people come and talk to me? Why don't I believe in what I'm seeing? Yeah. Have a day off. Because that gives your mind a rest. Because it's not going to change your life having that moment out. But what it will do, it'll give you a new energy to go back into it and start to achieve. Because the achievement of being able to rest is the way that we go forward. Do you know what the difference between an entrepreneur is and somebody that just is unsuccessful? An entrepreneur is somebody that gets up again, goes again. They normally have at least 17 fails before they become an entrepreneur. Before they start being, able to make money in business. So what they've done is they've realized that there's a formula, but they keep getting it wrong until they get it right. So what they do is they give themselves a rest in between. So do one, have a rest, do another, have a rest, because they accept that their character is one that needs to be occupied and busy. But they also accept that their character can't be busy and occupied all the time. Now, what you have is a genius to be able to see that what you do creates your life that you're leading, and you live a life that you create. And I think we both agree on that. But also in between that, there's lots of little opportunities that go past you because you're too busy living your life. And those opportunities are there, but because you don't want to get involved in them because they're too risky, you don't want to be rejected, or you don't want to be in a position where someone looks down upon you or says, "Oh, that crazy woman again," right? You don't take them. So you're caring more about what other people think about you than what you think about yourself. And I'll tell you what, right? And this is something that I got involved with. I worked on this program where they were looking at these model girls. They're really, really pretty, sort of, everything everywhere, but nothing up here. You know that sort of girl? Okay,
Yeah.
right. And I sat and talked to this one girl who was a top model. And I said to her, "What do you look for in a man then?" She goes, "Well, I look for three things. I look for real leather shoes. I look for a Rolex watch. And I look for somebody who actually smells of money." Right? That's what she said to me. Okay, thank you very much. Great research. So all she was looking at was what the person was showing out. And there are certain parts of you that doesn't do that, because what you look for is the inner person. And you know the inner person's there. You're not looking for the outer person. You're not looking for someone to impress you. You're not looking for
No.
someone to be nice to you. In fact, if they're nice to you, you probably think, "My God, what are you being nice to me for? There's something suspicious about you. I don't want your sweet." Right? And it goes from that thing of we create these situations because we have extreme thinking. And what you've got is the opposite to what that girl had. You have extreme thinking the opposite way, because you're waiting for people to turn out to be something different to what they project themselves to be. That's blooming hard work too.
It's exhausting. I wait for the other shoe to drop.
Yeah,
Always.
absolutely. And everyone has their moments. You can't be on top form all the time. Yeah, everyone has their moods. Everyone has their times where they can't quite cope with a situation, or they get a bit anxiety, or they get a bit stressed over something, or they might say something wrong in the wrong time. Yeah, that's what life is about. We're not perfect. And unfortunately, if we start to make judgments on people, they're going to get something wrong at some point. And it's something to worth thinking about. We can't be perfect. And nor can you. But what you can be is honest and give yourself some time away from the real treadmill, fast-paced life that you live in your head. Yeah? It's exhausting. You keep saying, I'm gonna have this in the sign of my room. It's exhausting. Zanoli says it. It's exhausting. And it is exhausting when you think the way you do. But if you can switch a few things, next time I see you, I should see you with a totally different, more relaxed aura. You should be more pale rather than being all these bright, blooming pastel shades of, this and that. And oh my God, yeah, I mean, we could talk all night and we probably wouldn't get to an end of everything you want to talk to me about. Yeah, because there's so much in there that's been pent up over these last, what, 10 years? It must be 10 years. Has to be. There's the only relevance is now. And if I was to put this into a now thing, I would say to you, forget about changing jobs for 2 weeks. Right? Just let it go. Right? You can come back and revisit it if you want to, but 2 weeks, boom, forget. Okay? Eat some of your favorite foods. Okay? Go and get some things that you really enjoy eating. Enjoy meeting people, even if it's through work, where you're just meeting people and enjoy having those people around you. Doesn't matter who they are, you're learning about character, you're learning about people, you're learning about dynamics. And I always think if you're nice to people, people are nice to you. The other bit that I love you to do is laugh. I'd love to take you out for a comedy night or something like that. If I was lived in Arizona, I'm sure we could go to a stand-up night or something. But because I'm so far away, you're gonna have to find that yourself. But just laugh at something. Have some comedy, even podcasts, whatever. Have something to make you laugh, just to distract you. And I guarantee you love music. I guarantee it because you've got that musical twist around you. Music will be your mood. And when you're in different moods, you have different music. I would actually use that, and I would say up your moods a bit. Just you listen to good music, good upbeat music. Yeah, you'd love dance music. I know you would. And that upbeat stuff with a really good beat. Yeah, I mean that's the stuff that really gets you thinking and gets you going and gets you relaxed and gets you away. And that's distraction. I could distract you so much in your life that you wouldn't even realize you're in your life. But you need to be able to fit in times of distraction for your life where you give your head a break. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So let me close because I'm just going to stop the recording because otherwise the file's going to be so big. Yeah, it's going to take 3 years to get to you. So let me just do that.